We're in the days between January 1st and Epiphany, so we're in this section of Christmas where we're absorbing the presence of God in our midst. We're, according to the scripture, we're making this transition from the ministry of John the Baptist to the ministry of Jesus himself. You might have noticed that in the Gospel, three times it talks about translation. Well, in a certain sense, we're being translated from disciples of John into disciples of Jesus. We don't know too much about John's disciples. We don't know how he gathered them. There's no place in the scriptures where John says, "Come follow me." He never tries to attract attention to himself. He's always pointing to the one who is to come. But we know that he did have disciples. In fact, he apparently had many of them. Two of them are in today's gospel. One of them is Andrew. The other one is traditionally considered to be John the Evangelist, who wrote this passage, so it makes some sense. But anyway, these two disciples of John were, for some reason, attracted to him. John's ministry was, yes, to point out the one who is to come, but also to prepare the way by calling people to repentance. Repentance, baptism of repentance, prepare the way, and then along comes Jesus, the Lamb of God. And John says it, he said it in yesterday's gospel, he says it again in today's gospel, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples take this indication as a clue to the next step in their journey as disciples. And so they follow Jesus. It's one of these funny cases that Jesus didn't invite them to follow him. They just did it because they thought that was a good idea based on what John pointed out. And it made sense. I mean, if this is the Lamb of God, if this is the one who's taking away the sins of the world, well, let's find out what he's all about. Then we come to the very first words of Jesus in John's Gospel. "What are you looking for?" In other Gospels, Jesus starts out by proclaiming the kingdom. "The kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe." It's a proclamation of a new thing that has come. It's a kind of a universal invitation to repentance and to welcoming the kingdom. But in John's gospel, the first line is, "What are you looking for?" Very personal, very kind of a open, listening approach. And when they say, "Well, where are you staying?" His second line, Jesus' second line in the Gospel of John, is, "Come and you will see." So, not repent and accept the kingdom, but "What are you looking for? Come and you will see." Now, both of these approaches are valid, and Jesus used both of them, meaning the approach of a widespread proclamation of the coming of the kingdom and a widespread invitation to repentance and a invitation to follow him, the kind of generic form of calling disciples, and the personal one, which we have in today's gospel, very personal. What is it that you are looking for? What is in your heart? What is moving you from inside to take a step beyond where you are now? And they don't know how to answer it. "Where are you staying?" is not exactly what they're looking for. They want to know where he's staying. No, they want to know the meaning of his identity as Lamb of God. They want to know how he is the fulfillment of what John has been speaking about all this time. But they couldn't put that into words, so they mumble out this, "Where are you staying?" And then Jesus says, "Come and you will see." It's that invitation to follow. It's important to keep reflecting on how Jesus invites us, because it enhances our understanding of freedom. The people's wrong understanding of religion is that if you belong to any religion, or you have you place yourself under the obligation of moral code, well then you are less free, that you are burdened by the responsibilities of your religion. And that's exactly wrong. The invitation Jesus gives is always based on our freedom, and it enhances our freedom, so that when we say yes to him, we are more free. He doesn't force anyone to follow him. He doesn't, even when he says, because sometimes he does say very strongly, follow me, like he says to Matthew, the tax collector, follow me. He didn't force him. Sometimes we might feel forced by the word. The word of God sometimes hits us very strongly, and we feel like we can't not do what God is saying. But it's never force in that sense. We're never enslaved. We never pushed beyond what we ourselves choose, because that would violate God's own plan for us. He wants us to be free and more free. So if he were to force us to do anything, it would be an obstruction to his own plan for our fullness. Well, here the two disciples freely respond by going and seeing. And they see very quickly that this Jesus, this Lamb of God, is the Messiah. And that's the first thing that Andrew says to his brother. We have found the Messiah. How quickly Andrew figured it out. Now, we don't know how long it took. This is always, the Gospels always give us a condensed form. But very quickly, Andrew figured it out, and Peter also figured it out. This is the Messiah. Now, I'd like to keep this idea of freedom in following the Lord in mind as we turn to today's first reading, which has a very stark contrast between the children of God and the children of the devil. In an almost disturbing way, because he says, John, this is John again, he says so sharply that whoever is righteous does what is righteous, and whoever sins belongs to the devil. And that's the only two categories he gives here. Whoever belongs to God does not sin. Anyone who is begotten by God, or no one who is begotten by God, commits sin. He cannot sin because he's begotten by God. So we have these two categories. People with no sin, who never sin because they're begotten of God, and people who sin belong to the devil. It's disturbing because we're sinners. I mean, if we're honest at all, we know we're sinners. We sin every day. Does that mean we're children of the devil? No. No, that's where we have to be careful here. What John is doing is setting forth the ultimate direction in our use or misuse of freedom. When Jesus says, come and you will see, we either come or we don't. When Jesus says, follow me, we either follow or we don't. And in this life, of course, we can change our mind and we have the capacity of repentance. But a time comes when that's an absolute distinction. Either we are followers of Jesus or we are not. Either we are children of God or we are children of the devil. That's the way it will end up. And John, in this reading, wants to make it very clear how serious the decision for or against God is. I think it's a way of preventing us from trivializing sin, which is what we typically do. Oh, a little sin, it's just a little sin. That's just my own weakness and doesn't really matter. And I did it before, I'll just go to confession. That sort of attitude that makes it seem as if sin is normal and acceptable. No, this reading reminds us sin is not acceptable because sin puts us in the category of the children of the devil, and we don't want to belong there. We don't belong there. So don't treat sin as a normal condition or as a a light matter. It's true that there are some sins that are more serious or heavier than others, yes, that not all sins are the same. But all sin, insofar as it gets in the way of our relationship with God, insofar as it prevents us from being who God calls us to be, insofar as it limits our freedom, is a bad thing. Now, don't give in to any sin. And it's this awareness of the seriousness of the choice that gives us incentive to use our freedom properly. When we have the awareness of what God is asking us to do, do it. Don't commit a sin of omission. Don't procrastinate. Respond to the call of Jesus, come and you will see right away. Because if we don't respond, if we don't go, and then we won't see. You see, sin is a step down a path that leads to more sin, that leads to slavery to sin. And the choice, the yes to God, is a path that leads to seeing. Eventually, seeing God face to face in heaven. So that's already the itinerary, or the trajectory of the life of a disciple. So these are the first two, Andrew and John, Peter, but they're not the last. Anyone who responds to freely responds to the call of Jesus will see.